Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you that you are walking alongside each one of us. And as we hear the stories of how you are at work in and with and around and through us, we thank you that we can encourage us one with another. So Lord, thank you for the encouragement that you're bringing to us through Ethan tonight. Amen. Amen.
Hello everyone. I would like to start by sharing a small bit of where I come from. So most of you know I'm from Australia. I was born in Melbourne. That's like the lower right-hand corner of mainland Australia. I only lived there 11 months though, so don't ask me anything about it. I've got no idea. Ask my parents, they'll know. But after 11 months of living in Melbourne, me and my family, we moved to Tasmania, which is the small Dorito-shaped island underneath mainland Australia. And I basically was raised there until I came here. I lived in Burnie until I was 9, which is where we moved to in Tasmania. While we were there, we lived in a poor neighbourhood, so that meant really quite rough kids. The majority of these kids I knew, that I came to know really quite well, came from broken homes. They didn't know how to control themselves because they'd never been taught how to. It was difficult. But since I was being raised in this environment, I knew how to talk to these other kids. Burnie, the place where I did my first part of my, the first bit of my growing up, is where I discovered empathy. Although I had no idea at the time, this gift that God had given me of being able to talk to these other kids and empathize with their situation would really help me later on, and coming here especially. When I was 9 and a half, I moved from the north of Tasmania, Burnie, to the southern end of the state, to a place called Hobart, which is the capital of Tasmania. Although this move wasn't exactly big, it did feel like it at the time, because I didn't know what moving properly felt like. If you've seen the movie Lion, anyone seen the movie Lion? The scenery in Hobart, that's the actual scenery, so go watch Lion, and then you'll know where I come from. This move was quite odd for me at first, because I moved into a private Christian school, just coming from a state school in a poor area. So the contrast was pretty great. The school wasn't posh or anything, it was just different. And yeah, it just felt really odd. I hadn't known anything else. So moving from this really poor area of the world where God could move in incredible ways to this middle class area in Tasmania where God can still move in incredible ways, but I guess it felt more difficult for God to move in incredible ways. And I became insanely comfortable in this area. It ended up becoming the 4 most comfortable years of my life. Like, really, really comfortable. I forgot about God, basically. I loved being at school while I was there. I went to a place called Calvin Christian School. It became my home away from home. My friends were amazing, my teachers were incredible, and nothing was difficult. School wasn't difficult because I barely did my work anyway, and I had nothing to worry about, but I found stuff to worry about anyway because I'm a worried person. Some of the things I got to do with my friends was go down the beach, go laser tagging, go to youth group, just have a lot of fun. But that became the most important thing to me, just having fun. I lost track of God. It was so comfortable, I felt like I didn't need him. I had life easy. But then that time of my life stopped. The next stage of my life was moving here. I left a lot behind. I left my friends, my family behind me. And it was the unknown things that terrified me. I had no idea what to expect. The good thing was that we arrived just before summer holidays were starting here in 2015. So that meant we had 8 weeks just to settle in, get to know people, get to know the surroundings. And I was feeling like this was just going to be another easy step in my life, just like it was in Hobart. But then school started. Samuel and Miriam had, my younger sister and older brother, wherever he is, had already been accepted into St. Bart's, one of the major schools in the area. I hadn't yet. So that meant I started my first day of school in England at Trinity, all by myself, not knowing anything about how anything worked here, and it freaked me out. I didn't know how people behaved, and I didn't have the smallest amount of comfort. See the contrast? I was on my own. I was traumatized, feeling friendless, and very, very alone. At the time, I think this was one of the biggest slaps in the face God could have given me. When that day ended, I got home, I sobbed my eyes out and cried, and my brain felt numb and I had no idea what to do. I knew I'd have to go back the next day and be alone all over again. My parents were really comforting. My siblings supported me, but I still felt very alone because they wouldn't be with me the next day. I had to face it by myself. I figured out later, like a lot later, that this was God bringing me to my knees. After 4 years of comfort, relaxing, friends and safety everywhere, God took it all away, so there was only one thing left for me to run to, which is Him. And ever since that day, I have tried to. I really have. Life has gotten even harder since that day. I have been through anxiety and insomnia, which I still have to deal with sometimes, but at its peak, I went through a few months long state of depression, which meant I kind of dug myself into a hole. But God was the one that got me out of that. He put things in place, like a counselor that really helped me, and friends and family that just helped me get me through it. Some of the pressure is still there, so the feeling of being alone is still there sometimes, like the culture I am confronted with every time I walk into school. The expectations of others, the need to perform academically, the need to put on a face in order to fit into the crowd. It's draining and it's tiring. But God is walking right alongside me every time I walk through those doors, protecting me. The survival instinct of not wanting to be noticed kicks in, and I feel completely drained and exhausted from being emotionally aware of everyone around me. But He is there, and He takes it all away from me. He receives it from me, and He makes it His problem so I don't have to deal with it anymore. In the midst of all this, God is teaching me to trust Him. It's like the part of the Bible when the disciples are sailing through a storm, and Jesus walks out into them on the water, and they're thinking they're going to die. But like I said, Jesus walks out, and He nurtures them, basically, in this time where they think they are going to die. It's the same thing with me, and I'm guessing quite a lot of you. Every time that I've been at my most vulnerable, my most alone, feeling completely empty, that God found me and made it about Him and not me. It's never been about me. It never has been. God has taken me through the hardest part of my life up until this point. But He made me go through that so that it would shape me into a way where I can share it with everyone else and hopefully encourage them. Just like living in the rough neighborhood, it was God's way of teaching me empathy. This time of emptiness and feeling worry and anxiety, God has taught me about faith, which is just another word for trust. Trusting God, even when it's hard, in the end, that trust that I have with God is the most valuable thing I can have. It's not comfort or ease of living and the closeness, but the closeness of God and what He's doing in us. The stuff that is happening in life can shift and change dramatically, like moving to the other side of the world, in my case. But God is trustworthy and true. It's like the Joseph story, where Joseph lives a life of comfort as his father's favourite son, and life for him is just easy, like it was for me in Hobart. But then Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery, He even ends up in prison at one point for a crime he didn't even commit. But after going through what I can imagine was one of the most difficult times he's ever experienced, he becomes the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. Which is amazing. It's a biblical example of how God uses the hard times and turns them into something amazing and something you can bring glory to God with. And that's the point. Our life is not about our comfort. It's about what he desires to do through us, through me, through you. It's not about you or me. It's about him. He will equip you and me to bring glory to him. I know that I'm not the only one that has gone through hard seasons or are going through hard times. Everyone does. But I hope that I've learned something that can encourage you the way it has encouraged me. And another thing is, we can say that our hearts belong to Jesus and that we are Christians and that we trust him. These are really good things to say. But they need to be more than just words. Just saying them. If we make life about us and try and hold on to our comfort, it's just a Christian label. But when God meets with us and takes away all the comfort, he turns it into something deep and powerful. He will pull away everything that we can rely on and everything that isn't him, basically. So he can meet with us and do what he needs to do so that our life isn't about us, but about him. My hope is that I won't forget this, that I won't go back to clinging onto comfort like I did in Hobart, I will be willing to let things go so that God can do what he wants in me. He's an expert at taking away all the bad things that I have dealt with in life and doing something good with them. I'm glad that I was born in Australia, and I'm glad that I had magnificent times in Hobart of living comfortably. But I'm even more glad that God has been with me even when it gets difficult, because I have become a better person through that, and he has equipped me through that so I can bring glory to him. Thank you.